Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's word. Verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, dear God, as we focus on this great subject of evangelism this month. And Lord, we're going to start by looking at for many of us, a very familiar portion of Scripture here, the Great Commission. And then, Lord, move throughout the Bible and take a look at this. What a daunting task. At first reading, perhaps will be dismissed by some as a dream, a fantasy, an impossible mission. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would understand some things better about the Great Commission. Understand that Jesus would not have asked us to do something that's impossible. With God, all things are possible. So help us, Lord, to have a better understanding of this. These last words, last instructions given before Jesus ascended to sit at the right throne of the Father. And Lord, I pray that we would understand, dear God, their heightened importance in these last days. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to list the questions right away so that you'll know what the five questions are and take a little bit of time with each one. The Great Commission, five questions regarding the Great Commission. Preacher, what is it? That's the first question. Number two, who is it for? That's the second question. Number three, where are we to go? That's the fourth question. Number five, how are we to do this? That's question number four. And then the last one, when are we to stop? When are we to stop? Evangelism, the idea of evangelism, stems from the heart of God. It found its beginnings here as Jesus made a request and gave a command to the disciples. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it's recorded thus. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want to answer these questions tonight and help us to leave here tonight with a greater understanding of the Great Commission. What is it, preacher? What is that? Well, first of all, let's understand this. It's a three-part commission. If you're going to examine and understand the Great Commission, you've got to understand it consists of three parts. Christ commanded us to deliver the gospel to every creature on the earth in every age. And then those who believe in Christ, we're commanded to baptize. And then all those that are baptized, we are commanded to teach those who are baptized to live like Christ and enlist them, their help in reaching the world for him. And I believe God gave us a plan here that works. I believe God gave us a plan that if we followed it, the mission could be accomplished. I wrote this down because I heard a man give this once and I thought it was so fascinating. If one person was involved in this and they could win 1,000 people to Jesus Christ every day. Now, if one man could win 1,000, imagine that, being able to win 1,000 people to Christ every day, how long would it take that man to evangelize the world? Well, with our population being about 6 billion, one man winning 1,000 people every day, it would take 16,427 years to reach every person if we reached 1,000 every day. And so obviously that plan's not going to work. So instead of just focusing only on evangelism, let's imagine if we focused on evangelism, baptism, and training and enlisting those converts to help us win the world. Let me give you the numbers here. If that same person, instead of trying to win 1,000 people to Christ every day for 16,427 years, if instead he would lead one person each year to Christ, one person would lead one person to Christ this year and see that he got baptized and then begin to train him and teach him how to win others. If one person won one person one the very first year, at the end of the year, then there would be two people. that could take the good news to others. If each of them would lead one person to Christ that next year, the next year there would be four people at the end of the second year to go. You said, preacher, this isn't building very quickly. Watch this. At this rate, it would only take a little over 32 years to reach 6 billion people with the gospel. And what I'm trying to do is stress this. We cannot just be a church that is focused only on winning people to Jesus Christ, because that, I believe, is not the fulfillment of the Great Commission. It is important that we win them, but it's also important that we teach them to be baptized and what baptism is, and encourage them to follow the Lord's in believers' baptism. And then encourage them to come and be trained, because if we followed God's formula, we begin to see that this thing begins to mushroom and to mathematically increase in such a way that all of a sudden what God asked us to do doesn't seem impossible after all. And so let me encourage you to do this. I was talking to a missionary. I won't tell you who it was. I almost did. I'll talk to a missionary. And I understand the daunting task. This missionary was ministers to this day in a very large city, a very large city. It's not one of our missionaries that we support, but a very large city in Mexico. And he was telling me how I asked him about his evangelism and winning people to Christ. And he said, I take my people, and he said, this city is so large that he said, preacher, it's just hard for us to be able to really properly disciple people. So he said, I go to this section and I evangelize heavily and win people. Then I go to this section and I win people. And I go to this section and I win people. And I go to this section and I win people. And he's telling me about the number of people he saw saved, and it was impressive. And I said, wait a minute, let me ask you a question. You're over in this section, and you've moved from here to here. What happens to these converts? And he finally just admitted to me, he kind of shrugged, looked at it, and said, well, at least they're saved and on their way to heaven. And by the way, thank God that they're saved and on their way to heaven if they properly received the gospel and trusted Christ. But he's not following the plan. And he's got it in his mind that it's so overwhelming we can't reach, so we're just going to keep moving and winning people. But the problem is, what we're doing a lot of times is just producing a group of people that the cults come in and other churches. Listen, you got to get new believers grounded in the faith. And a lot of people were initially saved and by receiving the right gospel, but because we don't fulfill the whole Great Commission, they get snatched up by somebody and taught wrong doctrine by somebody. And so, folks, listen to me. You cannot come up with a better plan than what the Lord has come up with. I can't come up with a better plan. Say, preacher, what's the responsibility of us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Let's get the gospel out and win people, but let's not just leave them then. Let's work with them, teach them what baptism is, encourage them to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, and then let's get them into the church where they can be trained into Christ-likeness and trained to help reach the rest of the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It's a three-part commission. Number two, who's it for? The command is directed to every individual Christian and every local assembly of believers. The command is directed to every individual Christian and every local assembly of believers. To accomplish this, every Christian must get involved. We talked about what one person could do, winning one person and properly discipling them and training them to help him win another. What if we had thousands of people doing that? Now, folks, watch this. The Bible says here in the Great Commission, go ye, okay? Who is ye? All right, right beside the Great Commission, you ought to write this somewhere in your margin. Ye is me, all right? Ye is me. And as soon as you settle that, and stop trying to wiggle out from under it, figure out why it belongs to somebody else, play hot potato with it, figure out a way that you can rationalize that you weren't one of the 11 disciples that were actually standing on that mount, so Jesus wasn't talking to you, or whatever way you get, try to figure out a way where it doesn't apply to you. Well, as soon as you settle this, ye is me, then you know what? You'll go forward then. In obedience, hopefully, obedience to the command of the Lord Jesus Christ to get involved in evangelism. Boy, I just want to take a breath here. Listen to me. My job is not to make anybody do anything. My job is to speak the truth. But folks, listen to me. Are you passing out tracts? Are you sharing your testimony? Are you trying to win people? Are you at least trying to invite people to church where they can hear the gospel? The Christians that sat for years in a good Bible preaching church and sat on the sideline when it comes to this matter of evangelism, let me encourage you, whether you believe it or not, you can make a difference for eternity. Let me just encourage you to do this. Listen, take that first step. I mean, grab one of those cards that you've been avoiding. Put it in your pocket tomorrow. Give one card out. Give one person. You know what you're going to find? Nobody's going to shoot you. Now, probably there you're not going to get cussed. And you know what? If you get cussed, it didn't hurt you. You know what? I think every Christian ought to get a good cussing every once in a while. Just inspire you to do something for you. Make you realize the devil's alive and well. And so what? Get some grit in you. And just go forward. You know, not everybody's going to embrace it. Not everybody's going to believe it. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to say, ye is me. I need to be a part of this. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to have you move around some in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to read a verse to you here. And of course, 1 Corinthians is being written to a local assembly. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you'll look in verse number 34, 1 Corinthians 15:34, this verse is written to an assembly of believers. The command is directed, I said, to every individual Christian, but every local assembly of believers also. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. Some have not the knowledge of God. Well, whose fault's that? I speak this to your shame. And God used Paul to put this verse down, and God's finger comes from heaven and points to that church of Corinth and says, if the people that's here in Corinth has no knowledge of God, it is your shame. And let me say this, folks, if the people in Jacksonville have not the knowledge of God, it's our shame. If the people of Linton have not the knowledge of God, it's our shame. If the people of in Worthington and Hymer and Colemont and Farmer, listen, it's our shame. Blessed Old Baptist Church ought to be ashamed if somebody within our circle of influence does not have the knowledge of God, has not received a gospel witness. And so who is it for? It's for every individual Christian, that's for sure. But also the Bible teaches us that a church has to bear the responsibility, a local assembly has to bear the responsibility of carrying out the Great Commission. Number three, where are we to go? All right, here it is. Go ye into all the world. Go ye into all the world. All right, so we are to impact the entire world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 1:8, I'll just read this. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both. That's the word I stress, B-O-T-H. I think that's the foundation of our missions vision, our missions philosophy here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What does that mean? While we are directly impacting our Jerusalem with the gospel, we should be influencing our Judea, our Samaria, and even the uttermost parts of the earth. I like to say this, but a rural small town church in Jacksonville, Indiana, is commanded by God to have a worldwide impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is possible. That is possible. The local assembly of believers are to saturate their Jerusalem with the gospel while impacting their Judea and their Samaria and even reaching out to the uttermost parts of the earth. Preacher, you're talking to Blessed Old Baptist Church, Jacksonville, Indiana. Good night. We don't have millions. We don't have thousands. There's a few hundred of us here. Here's the next question. How are we to accomplish this? So that's question number four. How are we to accomplish this? Now, again, let me give you how we do this, all right? Go to Matthew chapter number 9. I'm gonna let you see this. I'm going to give you a little formula here. Preacher, you mean I personally, as a member of this church, joining together with others in this church, can have a worldwide impact? Yes, absolutely. Matthew chapter number 9, if you look at that, Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 37. So if you're there, Matthew chapter 9, verse number 37. How are we to accomplish this? Let me give you the first ingredient, prayer. 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 You know what? Whenever I make up a plan to do anything, and I believe you ought to have a plan to do something, a plan to accomplish something. I preached here at Commonwealth Baptist College here a while back, and I preached last month, and I preached a message to the kids entitled, put a ladder in your dreams, and I believe it's great to have dreams, but dreams without a ladder are worthless. And when Jacob dreamed his dream, there was a ladder reaching from where he was to what he dreamed. And you know what? We have a lot of dreamers in fundamentalism, but we also need some thinkers in fundamentalism. And you can dream all you want to about what you wish you could accomplish for the Lord, but at some point you got to build a ladder, and a ladder has steps, and you got to figure out how to get from where you're at to what you're dreaming of. And if you do, listen, let me tell you what the first rung of every ladder you ever build ought to be. Prayer. Prayer. That ought to be the first rung of every ladder you ever build is prayer. What does the Bible say here? Then saith he unto his disciples, Matthew 9:37, the harvest truly is plenteous, the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth labors into his harvest. You've heard me teach this, most of you have, but the Jesus left us seven specific prayer requests, seven things that he asked us to pray for. One of those is to pray for labors for the harvest. And we got to start with prayer, folks. Without prayer, we will not and cannot accomplish the Great Commission. Now, let me have you also go then to Acts, the book of Acts. The book of Acts, by the way, is a great how-to book when it comes to how to reach the world. Acts chapter number 5, verse number 42. Let me have you look at that. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 42. And the Bible says here in Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in, what's the next two words? Every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Daily in the temple, so there was preaching going on at the church property, church house. And in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Go to Acts chapter 20, if you will. Acts chapter 20, and look at verse number 20. A lot of times people, preachers, Acts 20:20, you know, like 20/20 vision. This is a great verse as far as giving you the right vision as far as reaching the world. Acts 20:20, and the Bible says this, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is what I hear people say, and this usually comes from the contemporary church crowd. They'll say this, the Bible is a book of a divine message, but not divine methods. You know what I say to that? That's what I say to that. Baloney. The Bible's a book of divine message and divine methods. And well, that's what they did back then, but you got to understand, we've got websites now. Well, good. Let's use them for the Lord. While we're knocking on doors and taking the gospel to every house. Well, we got radio now. That's great. Let's put on a radio program. We've done it. While we're going to every house and knocking on every door. See, folks, I don't mind people thinking outside the box. I'm just tired of them throwing away the box. Let's stop throwing the box away. Because honestly, the honest truth, come on now, the honest truth is we got a lazy generation that's trying to find some cyber way to reach the world so they can sit on their couch and feel good about themselves instead of getting out there and pounding the pavement and doing it the old-fashioned way. Listen, anytime you hear somebody that says something along the lines of soul winning no longer works, bus ministry no longer works, you know what? Mark that person for who they are. They're a backslider. They're a liar. They're lazy. They're wicked. Because my Bible says that the way, boy, I wish we could see what was done in the book of Acts. Well, let's not just learn what their message was. Why don't we be smart enough to look at what their method was? And you know what they said? Everybody's house in this city, whatever city we're in, everybody's house is going to receive a gospel witness. Now, folks, there's only one way to achieve gospel saturation of a community, and that's to take the gospel to every door. And that's what we try to do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I think we're going to do better in 2015 as we kick off these visitation programs. All right, good, good. That's awesome. That means every Christian, if we're all supposed to be involved in worldwide evangelism, we're all supposed to, the Great Commission applies to all of us, then that would be great if every Christian was involved in door-to-door soul winning and getting the gospel out to every house. The size church we had, we could get everybody involved in it. We could get it done in a very timely fashion. If there's 20 of us that's going to do it, then I'll tell you right now, it's going to take a long time. And by the way, while we're playing around with 20 of us trying to do it, or 25 or 30 of us trying to do it, people are dying. There's people you're reading in the obits every day. There's houses not being gone to. People move in, they move out, and we miss them. Hey, You know what? We're going to stand one of these days before God and answer for our slothfulness and our unwillingness just to obey the Bible method. Acts chapter 13. Let's go there. Acts chapter 13. So how are we to accomplish this? Number one, what's the first rung of every ladder you ought to ever construct in your life? Prayer. Secondly, door-to-door soul winning. Door-to-door soul winning. What's the third way that we accomplish this? Acts chapter 13 and verse number 2 and verse number 3. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 2 or 3. And I'm getting there. Here it is. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they what? Sent them away. How does the church accomplish this? Through prayer. How do they accomplish it? Going out, pounding the pavement, door to door, taking the gospel, witnessing to everybody they can. How does the local church accomplish this? Saturation, getting the gospel to every creature. Watch this. By sending out young men who's been separated to the gospel ministry, sending them out outside of our boundaries, outside of our Jerusalem, to establish churches that will do the same thing that we're to be doing here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Very exciting. I said this recently, and I'm going to get it done one of these days. I'll pray for your preacher. I'm telling you right now, I'm in one of those kind of whirlwind hurricane times where I'm just, everything's flying by about a million miles an hour, and I keep trying to grab things and get them done. But one of the things that I want to accomplish is, in one of our boards back there, I'm glad we have the missionaries that we support. But you know what? I'm going to take one of those little slots and not put one per every one of our kids, but I'm just going to take one poster board there and put the pictures of the young people that have left this place and are serving the Lord somewhere in full-time Christian service, so we can walk by and see their faces and pray for them on a regular basis. And one of the things God has done here through the years at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, as he has reached down and got the hearts of some of our young people. And you know what? Listen, I don't care how you're involved in evangelism. I want you to do the will of God. For some, and many of you, it'll grow up and just, you know what, God wants you to stay here and work in your local assembly, and you know, you'll do that, plug in. And hey, as long as you're involved in the Great Commission, great. But for some, thank God, God does reach down and touch some young people's heart. And you know what? Part of our job is to take some of us who's going to have to go from us. And some of us are going to have to be willing to go. Some maybe to our Judea area or our Samaria area or to the uttermost parts of the earth. But part of the way that we accomplish this is through prayer, door-to-door soul winning, and then being willing to send out young preachers as God calls them and separates them to the ministry, to send them out to establish churches and keep this thing going. Let me take you one more place, Philippians chapter 4. We're making good time here. Good night. It's 20 till. I need to slow down a little bit and breathe here. In fact, I need to slow down and breathe a minute here, all right? I get excited about this. To me, once you go through and study the Bible, we just follow God's plan. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. Everybody thinks they found a brand new way to evangelize the world. Just go to the New Testament, go to the book of Acts, study it out, do what they did. You'll be fine. It'll work. And we don't need to reinvent the wheel. We just need to obey what God's told us to do. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again into my necessity. Now what are we talking about? Who's writing this? The Apostle Paul. What was he? He's a missionary. You know, what's he saying? He's saying, you know what? Many of the churches, even the ones I've established, has not taken me on for support and sent any support money to help me keep doing this, but y'all did. Thank you. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now that's exciting to me. Man, if I give to missions, there is fruit that's abounding from that that's going to be placed on my account. What's that mean? That means when I stand before God one of these days, the reward, some of the rewards for those that those missionaries are going to receive, for some of the reward for those souls that are saved on the mission field that I help support, is not just going to the missionary's account, it's going directly to my account, and I'll receive reward for that, and I'll receive commendation from that from the Lord. Listen, that's exciting to me. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which ye were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. That's what missions giving is right there. What a beautiful description of missions giving from God's perspective, how God views it. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, preacher, break it down to me. We are on how are we to accomplish this? Prayer, yes. Soul winning, saturating our Jerusalem with the gospel by door-to-door soul winning, yes, and preaching in the church, both daily in the house, daily in the temple, and in every house. And then sending as God calls them, laying hands on and sending young preachers to establish churches. And then how else are we to do this? Investing our resources, giving them to people who will go where we cannot go. And you know what? God is going to lay his hands on certain young men and young families and say, you know what? I want you to take the gospel here. I want you to take the gospel here. I want you to start a church here. I want you to go here. I want you to travel across the sea. I want you to go to this country. And they're going to go places I can't go, but I can still help them go. And to me, that's the exciting thing about missions giving. Preacher, if you say in Sunday school, if we give some of the offering in Sunday school, it goes to support worldwide missions. Yes. What you give in Sunday school, it gives you an opportunity to support worldwide missions, support the missionaries whose letters are hanging back there. And by the way, also will bring to your account in heaven a reward for what they're able to accomplish. That's exciting to me. And so this is how we impact the world. This is how we accomplish the Great Commission through prayer, through saturating our Jerusalem, through door-to-door soul winning, through sending and being willing to send out and support young preachers to establish churches, and through investing the resources that we can to give to those who go where we cannot go. And that is how we are to accomplish this. All righty. Now, let me just kind of give you a little overview on this. All right, preacher, you like to talk about that word both. Now that we say how are we to accomplish this, let's take a look at our Jerusalem, our Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. I'll tell you how I view this. When I explain as far as giving Blessed Hope Baptist Church something to put their minds around, wrap their minds around. You know, when I think of our Jerusalem, I think of our Tri-County area. When I think of our Jerusalem, I go back and pray over and look and put my hands on that map right there that's hanging in there. We spent money on that. We did it for a reason. I think every church needs to properly identify what their Jerusalem is, what they're going to take responsibility for, and say, with God's help, by God's grace, and the obedience of God's people, we can take the gospel to every single person. We can saturate this with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through public preaching and personal soul winning, baptizing the converts God gives us, then discipling them to live like Christ and help him reach the world for him. Help reach the world for him, we can saturate, we can reach our Jerusalem with the gospel. Now, what about Samaria? When I think about Samaria, I think about southern Indiana. By the way, I'm a Hoosier. All right, I love this state. I mean that. I don't know, God's given me I love America, but I love southern Indiana. There's some states I don't even care for, to be honest with you, but I like America. Louisiana, I wouldn't give you a dime for it, man. You know, most of the southern states, no, people talk funny down there. I ain't got any use for them. Out in the East Coast, those people are crazy. I'm just telling you, I've been out there. I don't care if I go back there either. California, well, there's one good girl out in California. No, there's two, actually. Two good girls, missionaries that we've sent out there to California to try to reach them. But I'll tell you something. Every place I've ever been in life, when I come back to Indiana, there's only one place that feels like home. And you know what? I think that we ought to have an affection for that. I think God, when he set this Great Commission up, kind of understood that. And I feel like this. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know, if we could reach our Jerusalem and check it off, check the box off and say, listen, we're doing our part. But God won't let us off the hook there. He uses that word both. While you're reaching your Jerusalem, I want you to in some way impact your Judea. And we, listen, I don't want us to, I say this, if you're not careful, as a church, we'll get, and I know churches that have this mentality, but I'm going to tell you, if we're not careful as a church, we'll get to the mentality of, well, if it don't put a dollar in our plate or a person in our pew, I don't really want anything to do with it. And to me, that's so wicked. It's so wicked. And here's another thing that bothers me. You know what? A church will get consumed with reaching their Jerusalem, and they care about the uttermost, but you know what? They don't care about one county over or two counties over. And I don't get that. You know what? I just think, listen, we've got an opportunity. Someone asked me this. Could America see a nationwide revival? My answer is always, oh, I hope so. I hope so. Are you kidding me? I'd love to see that. I don't know if it can happen or not. But I really do feel very confident about this, that within America, we could see some regional revivals. I mean, some areas that just get on fire for God and some things happen. And I always say, if that could happen in America, why not here? Why not in southern Indiana? Why not in the conservative Midwest, where I still believe there's people that God could use to do something like that? Now, that means, folks, watch this. I love Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Top shelf, top of the list, greatest church in the world. I don't want to go anywhere else, but I love other churches too. And this whole idea of the jealousy that exists sometimes between ministries, to me, is just insane. Stop it. Stop it. I want us to succeed, but I want any brother that's preaching the gospel, listen, I'm rooting for them. I want them to succeed too. And listen, part of my job, and I think part of our church's job, is to be an encouragement to other ministries across southern Indiana and other preachers across southern Indiana that may be struggling, that have needs, that we wouldn't turn a deaf ear to them. That we would be that encouragement. I want to be a friend to other preachers. I want to reach out and encourage other preachers and their wives and their children. I just think there's a whole ministry there and a responsibility, a biblical responsibility to do that. So as we, of course, have had the blessing of several years ago to rescue a church plant that was literally going to be sold and gone and done. And folks, we've got to keep our hearts open to that, to the idea that God would continue to use Blessed Hope Baptist Church to start churches and to encourage existing churches, because I really believe something. I think I've said this before, you've heard me, but let me say it again, because I like to stir things up in your heart and get you. I don't want you to go to sleep when it comes to this area and reaching this greater area for the Lord. Somebody asked me once, could you run 1,000 people in Jacksonville, Indiana? Could Blessed Hope Baptist Church ever run 1,000? And immediately, I'm selfish by nature, so I say, I hope not. I can't keep up with the ones I got now. I mean, it's just wicked, I know, but I don't know. I'm never going to limit God and what he could do, but I really believe this. And it's not that I'm trying to limit the Lord, but I also look at the size of the community and the number of other churches we have and whatever. And I think this is how we run 1,000. I think that the Lord would let us work over the next several years. And I think this church honestly could and should run in the next 15, 20 years. We could and should run up over 300, up over 400. I believe it's very doable for this area. I mean that. It's more doable than you realize. But it's undoable. Is that a word? It's undoable if it's going to be 15, 20, 25 people, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that climb the mountain of evangelism. Everybody else sits there for a month, feels guilty. Okay, good. We're climbing a different mountain. I don't have to hear about that. I mean, I'm just telling you. I pastored this church a long time. Some of you do that. Every time I get on this subject, you're going to do it again. But shame on you. I mean, shame on you. I don't know how you just sit by and let the world go to hell and make no personal effort to try to get the gospel to any person. I hope you can't sleep tonight. I hope God disturbs your dreams. I mean that. I hope the Holy Spirit torments you and takes your peace away and brings conviction on your heart till you break in that area of your life and say, you know what? I need to be a part of this. No more excuses. No more looking for an escape hatch. I'm going to join in with our church in getting the gospel to this. I mean, boy, some good miraculous things could happen. But here's what I think. I think, you know what? All right, we got that little church over in Bloomfield. You know what, Brother Gerald Clanning, God's hands on that. It's doing a good job. It's growing good, steady, solid growth. And you know what? We're ready and ripe and really need to plant another church. And then maybe 5 or 6 years down the road, we plant another one. I don't mean one of these where, listen, I'm not worried about walking around saying we planted 40 churches, and then when you put somebody to the quiz, I've met those preachers, and I always ask them after they say that from the pulpit, how many of those 40 churches, you know, in the last 10 years, we've planted 40 churches, and I catch them afterwards, how many of those 40s are still thriving? autonomous, self-supporting. You know, I think, you know, everybody out there can do whatever they want, but I think if we're going to start one, you start it, you stick with it, you help it, you get it going, you help the young preacher, you get them established, you get them on their feet, and yes, at some point they become autonomous and take off on their own. But folks, you don't birth a child and then 6 months later, you know what, say good luck, hope you make it in life, I'm going to move on now. You know, you stick with a baby and you grow a baby and you get them prosperous. But you think about this. I don't know how much time in life God has for me. And you know what? I hope this continues long after my time leading the church is over. But wouldn't it be awesome? And you know, if I could pass the church from 20, 25 years, to have a church at the end of that time here that was running 350, 400, and a church over in Bloomfield that was running 100 or 150 or 175, and have three or four other church plants that are running. You know what? I believe that's how Blessed Hope Baptist Church runs 1,000. Not that it's about Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but to me, that's the formula for reaching rural America. It's not a matter of how many people we can get to drive here, because at some point, logistics fight against you. It's a matter of God calling young men into the ministry, being willing to go plant something, being willing to go out on the front lines and do the hard work and start something and work it and pray and soul win and knock doors and see it go up and see it go down and go through the fight through the disappointments, but keep their heart right and their life clean and just say, I'm gonna go ahead and buy my burial plots. I'm just gonna stay here till I die, until God does something through this. I mean, we've got to have some of that. And a mother church or a church that would come alongside them and help them do that, what an amazing opportunity we have. And so that's how we impact not just our Jerusalem, but that's how we impact our Samaria. How about the idea of reaching America and touching America? Folks, I believe this. I believe that Blessed Hope Baptist Church can and is having a worldwide impact. Y'all don't travel. Some of you, maybe a few of you do, but y'all don't travel. Like, you would be surprised how well known this little church in Jasonville, Indiana is across America. Go on vacation, walk in an Independent Fundamental Baptist church. I'm not saying everybody everywhere will know us, but I'm telling you, this church is making an impact outside of the borders of Indiana. We're doing that in several ways. Thank God my dad led in this. And Jim Townsley, I think, was the first one that we, and man, you think about that, when he went to Connecticut. Was that in 79? I don't even remember. Anybody know when he took off and went to Connecticut? But real early on, maybe early, I think it was earlier than 79, wasn't it, Brother Charles? Early 70s? I don't know either. Good night. But you know what? Our church said, watch this. Our church said, let's support Jim Townsley as he goes to Connecticut to start a church. You know how many church plants in the last 42 or 43 years this church has got on board with, invested in, prayed over, and supported for two or three, sometimes 4 or 5 years, and watched that thing go, and then switched that money and did it again, switched that money and did it again. And I believe this. You know what? We could do more of that. We need to do more of that. But I mean, we're impacting the country that way. I can't go to Connecticut. I'm glad God called Jim Townsley to Connecticut, but I can help support him so he doesn't have to work 50 hours a week and try to start a church. I can help in that. I can help pray. I can help encourage. And so you think about that, and then you think about what Brother Townsley has done in this arena of church planting. Now, folks, listen, this is exciting. I believe all that's going to funnel back to the account of every member that was here when Jim Townsley was being supported and you gave sacrificially. It's not just Jim Townsley's church and the people they've been seen saved. He's been instrumental in seeing many, many other churches planted. And you know what? That fruit still is abounding to your account. That's why I like supporting church plants, man. I just want to get involved with them. It's so exciting to me. Listen, folks, I want to reach the world, but I think you'll agree with me on this. America's going to hell in a handbasket. America is a mission field. And we cannot ignore the need in our own country as far as planting churches and getting behind them, impacting our nation for the Lord Jesus Christ, establishing, strengthening churches who engage in public preaching and personal soul winning, who will baptize their converts, who will then disciple their converts to live like Jesus and help them reach the world. You know what are we doing? We're doing the same thing, the Great Commission, in different ways over and over and over again. Let's impact the world. Let's do what we can to help our country and help our nation. I'm excited about our radio broadcast. You say, preacher, well, that's just a Jerusalem ministry. Oh, no, it's not. We're on 5 different radio stations now. And you know what? We're on the internet, literally. And I haven't done this for a while. Brother Klein knows how to work his magic and figure all this out, but there's a place he can go and see how many hits we have from how many different countries to our website. And every time he gives me those stats, matter of fact, do that again for me. I haven't seen that in a while. I just sat there and think to myself, who are these people? And I think to myself, you know what, folks, listen, Brother Klein keeps that website up. Thank you for the work you put in on that. I mean, you know what, there's fruit abounding to your account on that. And folks, you think about that. Our radio broadcast it can be listened to. WYTJ, that's not just a local ministry, okay? All of these radio stations, Christian radio stations, they're not local ministries anymore. With the help of the internet, you know what? People are listening to these radio stations all across and around the world. And the little Blessed Hope program that we put on a few minutes, 5 days a week, and Sunday the sermon, is being listened by people around. To me, that's good night. Are you kidding me? To me, that's so exciting. And so, you know what? The Lord is, in many ways, using this to impact our nation. God's using your preacher, other than just in your Jerusalem, to help impact the nation, okay? He's using your preacher's writing to help impact the nation. I just feel like, you say, preacher, how do you justify all of this? It's easy. The word both. I understand this is the primary ministry God's given me, and Jerusalem is number one on the list. But there's a word, B-O-T-H. And you know what? If we're going to get selfish and only worry about us, then we're going to want to hold our pastor hostage, and we're going to complain about every time he's gone and all this other nonsense. I think I got a mature enough congregation where a lot of that doesn't go on. The rest of you grow up, catch up, and you'll be fine. But you know what? The thing about it is, we ought to say part of what we do here is not just impact Jacksonville, but impact Indiana and impact a nation and impact a world. Impact the world by praying and supporting gospel preaching, church planting missionaries around the world. We're supporting missionaries for the purpose of establishing and or strengthening of local churches who will do what? Watch this. Engage in public preaching and personal soul winning. Baptize their converts, who will then disciple their converts to live like Christ and help reach the world for him. I believe in supporting missionaries that are planting churches, because God's formula for reaching the world is through the formation and growth of the local assemblies of the Church of Jesus Christ. Last question, we're done. When are we to stop? John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Paul said this, it was quitting time for Paul at one time. He wrote this, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. When are we to stop? We're to stop when two things. We can stop when the job's done. Is it done yet? Everybody got the gospel yet? Then we can't stop. We can either stop when the job's done, well, the job's not done, or we can stop when the master calls us home. And one of these days, you know what? It'll be my time to be offered. Time of my departure will be at hand. I want to be able to say, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. I pray God lets me die with my boots on. I mean that. Maybe it's a selfish prayer, but I just do. I hope I'm going 1,000,000 miles an hour for the Lord when God says it's your time. I mean that. I say this from time to time. Don't cry if Jerry Ross goes out in the strength of his life. Don't cry. I've been by enough sick beds and death beds. I'd rather go out in the strength of my life. I just would. But I'll tell you one thing. When I go out, I want to go out pushing forward, getting the gospel out, working hard. I shouldn't probably say this, but I'm gonna. Had a young man that come up to me, and he was being a little bit of a smart aleck. Used to come to the church here, backslidden away from God, and really has set his heart as an enemy toward, treats this church as if it's an enemy and all of this nonsense. And he came up to me the other day, and he said, hey, Pastor Aaron. I said, hello. And he said, what are you up to? And I looked at him, and I said, son, I'm up to doing what I've always been up to, trying to get as many people saved as I possibly can, preaching as hard as I can, witnessing to as many people as I can, trying to raise a group of young people that'll spend their life doing the same thing and serving the Lord. Let me ask you a question, son. What are you up to? What are you up to? And you know what? He hung his head and walked away. Because you know what? At the end of your life, you can sit there and spit at this church and throw stones and talk about it and all this other stuff. But you know what? I found out most of the backsliders that like to use Blessed Hope Baptist Church as some kind of a target, they're going to stand before God one of these days with the blood of their friends and family on their hand because they're doing nothing for God. Don't you ever level accusations or throw rocks at a gospel preaching church that's centered on fulfilling the Great Commission. Instead of doing that, why don't you join it, jump in, and get involved with it? Because you know what? We've got enough critics. We don't need any more. You know what we need? We need people to get with the program and get involved and understand that it works. If you work the plan, it works. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would stir our hearts, dear God. Kind of a crash course, Lord, on the Great Commission. There's five basic questions to answer, Lord. Oh, Lord, if we just work your plan, we're going to stand one day before you. And I believe that judgment seat, dear God, we're going to answer for being stewards of what we've received. And one of the things we received is the Great Commission. I think, Lord, sometimes you're going to look at us maybe at that day and just say, how could I have made it any simpler? You know, it wasn't rocket science. It was basic. It would have worked. The world could have been saturated with the gospel. Why didn't you get involved with it? Why did you ignore my parting command? Why wouldn't you get with what the Bible says? Why? And I think in that day, Lord, you talk about Brother Hamlin preaching on wiping away the tears. Wiping away the tears. 1,007 years after the rapture, we're wiping away the tears. After the great white throne judgment, wiping away the tears. God help us, Lord. Devil's got us so busy, running in 1,000 directions, doing all kinds of everything. And yet week after week after week, never sharing the gospel with anybody. Never inviting anybody to church. Never knocking on a door. God, I just pray that you'd help Blessed Hope Baptist Church as we reload. And as go into a brand new year, as we expand visitation opportunities, Lord, that you'll help us to decide that we're going to be the church where everyone gets involved and we all do our part and we all get a hold of this thing. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.